Welcome to the Americas Uncovered, an Alborada podcast. We're at the Adelante Latin America 2023 conference in London, a gathering of activists, journalists, human rights defenders, trade unionists, academics, and progressive ambassadors and members of parliament. The main themes of the conference are the recent wave of victories of left-leaning political candidates in Latin America, resistance to empire, social change, and international solidarity. I spoke to Melanie Cruz, who is a lecturer in international politics at the University of Leicester. I began by asking her about the challenges faced by the government of Gabriel Boric in Chile, who was elected a year ago on a wave of left-wing popular support.
I think the main challenge that Boric government is going to have to deal with and has been dealing with is the tensions that exist from both sides of the political spectrum, because since 2019, we've seen a reconfiguration of the political forces on the left and on the right. And of course, the kind of polarizing of politics means that his government has to take very strong and difficult decisions in the way that policies push forward, and especially in the context of a new constitutional process after the defeat of last year, September. So I think the challenges are how to deal with an increase of the far right in Congress, also in sort of the most social sphere, because we've seen the emergence of small far right populism and groupings that are sort of interjecting politics at the moment, and also how to coordinate and how to build alliances with a very broad left that has not yet come with a common political agenda that will either support Boric or oppose Boric in these coming years. And so the reconfiguration of the left as is also a very important point, because that's going to define how Boric government goes in the next few years. They are in government, but they're also pressure groups in the sense that social movements that are very politicized and have a good number of people organized, and the kind of broad organized left, they are going to be pressure groups for this government. They're going to be pushing at the agenda on more environmentally friendly policies. They're going to be pushing forward nationalization of industry. They're going to be pushing the government to the left, to the right direction. But at the same time, the government has to deal with an apparatus of the state, if you want to call it, that has not been properly reformed to have a left-wing government as we want to see it. And that is mainly because we're still tied by the Constitution of 1980 and the problems that emerge from the new constitutional process that will start this year. We'll see how that goes. But I think that is a very exciting, challenging, but exciting moment, because we've seen a growing politics in the country. But also we see that that will be new tensions that we have not seen in the last years, especially, well, I will say probably since the transition to democracy, we have not seen yet. So I'm not condescending to Boric government. I don't think he's great, like the revolutionary left that we imagine. But he is the most progressive we can get at this point in history. And I think he will move the country into a more progressive agenda in the next few years.
So that's some of the domestic challenges. But Chile has quite a history with challenges from abroad, particularly the United States, but other countries too. Do you think what the new government can do is not only limited by its lack of control of Chilean politics, but also its lack of control of the international corporate sector?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't think this government is going to resolve that. I don't believe that there is capacity for this government. That, by the way, is worth mentioning. This is like new politicians, like a sizable part of the government at the moment are completely new into state politics. They're coming from parliamentary politics, from student politics, but they haven't yet administered a state, which is a completely different political task. And although Boric government has included very well-experienced politicians that are coming from the central left or the Socialist Party mainly, there's still a kind of a new generation of politicians. So that is, so that's what I don't think. The international question of how corporations, the private industry, they're not going to resolve that question, I think. What the best the government can do at this point, in my belief, is to diminish and stop some very hardcore corporation interventions in the country around especially mining, as we saw recently, but also big corporations in the health system, for example. We will see a diminish of that, but we're not going to see the end of privatization of health system in this government. We're going to see an increase of the public sector, but that's too different.
I think it's interesting about what happened in Chile recently is in a way, you know, since like 2011 and the protests of, you know, 10, 12 years ago, to what extent were those people the legacy of the people who were active in the 1970s?
I mean, there is perhaps more to say and more to think about the demographics of this left that sort of the new left. We can just call it new left, but I don't think it's actually new left. There is a massive continuity, especially through the Communist Party. They are the same Communist Party that they have been since the 1920s. Although with a new face, with very important new faces like Camila Vallejo, who was like a student leader in 2011, but also now she's in government. And she is the figure that make that coalition possible because she is connected to the new left or the student left that have created many parties, including Boric Party in the last 10 years. So there is continuity, and there is definitely a cultural continuity. And I think this was very much seen during the uprising by many of the cultural expressions that happened in those months were very connected to the cultural movement in the resistance. In the 70s, before dictatorship, but during the dictatorship, being Víctor Jara, El Derecho de Vivir en Paz song, one of the kind of the big moments or milestone of the social uprising that most people remember. And also, for example, within the feminist movement, they have recovered and they have reconnected to feminist resistance in the 80s that experienced sexual violence, sexual political violence by the state, and to restart that conversation when new forms of violation of human rights happened during the uprising. So definitely there is a continuity, but the demographic is completely different. And the kind of left that is different because we have the inclusion of more newest feminisms, LGBTQ+, and focus on the environment that perhaps were not the key political debates. They existed in the 70s, but they were not the main political debates that existed in the 70s. So yes, there's a bit of both.
Cultural leaders in the global north are always lecturing the global south about what they should and shouldn't do. But maybe there's an argument that people in the global south, for example, in Chile, can teach people in a country like Britain, the belly of the beast, the heart of the empire. Are there any important lessons you think people in Britain could learn from some of the movements you just talked about?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it really is something that I discuss a lot with my students in my module, Politics of the Global South. I think there's definitely lessons to learn. I do strongly believe that politics do emerge from the context they exist. I'm a bit resistant to the politics of the left that have to carry the surnames of like, I'm this, I'm Marxist, Leninist, I'm this and that. Because I think that sort of buries the conversation. And I think it's anything to learn from the last 10 to 15 years of the politics of the left in Chile, here in the UK, for example, will be of the possibility of political unity. Having tough but reasonable conversation of having a broad left that coexists, that have differences, they fight, obviously, but they can coexist and they can build power towards something. And understand where are those spaces are like, obviously they will be very different from Chile in the UK, but like here, the trade union movement, in my personal opinion at least, is the space of political power for the left, for example. Is it the Labour Party too? Perhaps, or not. But that is a discussion that I think a broad left coalition could think about beyond the last names that they put themselves, or the ways then in which they self-define as individuals before even thinking about a collective agenda. And that's something that I think the left in Chile have done, perhaps not perfectly all the time, but they have lead them to something that we see today.